Reb Noach used to ask, who would you rather be held up by? A happy hitman or a miserable one? I think the answer is obvious. I mean, if you're held up by a miserable hitman, so not only is he going to mug you and take your money, he'll probably kick you afterwards, smack you, whatever. The happy hitman, so, you know, he does his job, he goes in, takes away your money with alacrity, and then just, you know, gallops away into blue yonder, and, you know, if there is such a thing. Everybody would rather deal with happy people than miserable people. And the point is, Pashit, is that happiness, simcha, ivduas Hashem b'simcha, is not just something nice and something fun. Simcha is an energy. When you have simcha, so everything is better. You learn better, you play ball better, you're healthier, even without antibodies, so your immune system works. Such a thing called laughter therapy that actually makes you healthier. Simcha is a massive, massive power. And I always say that that's one of the reasons that I like hanging around this place, is because you're with people who are young. Youth is usually a happy time, at least it should be, when youth stops being happy, so you know you're in trouble. And when you have young people sitting around and banging their heads on a blot gemara and learning and together, it's a happy place. And for the most part, people are smiling, and it's a good place to smile along with them. Energizes you, you energize them back. Simcha is gewaldig. You have to learn and you have to be besimcha. But in a certain way, that put me on the wrong foot when I went into the parsha this week. And I realized afterwards, when I looked at my Chumash that I learned Chumash Rashi with last year, that the Hara bothered me before, but I never really went into it. The very, very strange Rashi about Yaakov Avinu that sort of doesn't jive with this picture of Simcha. It really doesn't jive with anything that you would expect from Yaakov Avinu. But let's get there one step at a time. The parsha starts Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanov Eisav Achiv Artzaseis Deyot Edoim. Yaakov sends his messengers Malachim Mamish, and he says to Esav, Kaysimun Ladeini Li Esav Koyamar Abdecha Yaakov. This is what your servant Yaakov says. Im Lavan Garti Tariyad Mitzvah Shamarti VeEchar Arata. Okay. Yaakov is startled when he hears the Malachim come back and they say that Esav is not in a good mood. There's 400 men coming with him. And so Yaakov goes ahead and he does his ishtadlus. The first thing that Yaakov does is vayachatz. Yaakov splits the camp. He prepares for war. The next thing that he does is he davens. You have a whole tefillah in the parsha. And the third thing that he does, he sends a major, major present to Esav, the Doirin. And that's his ishtadlus. Very interesting, something to think about. The order over here. First he prepares for war, then he davens, and then afterwards he kisses up to Esav. He tries to do something nice. But the Torah goes into great detail describing the whole present that Yaakov gave, how many of each thing, and how it was spaced out, and how it looked so good, and how all of the people were supposed to say to Esav, oh, there's more, and there's more, and there's more. And then you have this pasuk. V'amartem, you got to say to Esav, Gam hine avdecha Yaakov acharenu. Yaakov is behind us. Ki omar, because he said, achapra pana b'mincha elecha safanai, I want to change Esav's mood with this present. Afterwards I'll see him, because maybe he'll be in a good mood and he'll like me again. Okay, here it comes. And the mincha went on Yaakov's face. And he slept that night in the machane. Again. Vatavar hamincha alponav. The mincha went on his face. What does it mean that the mincha went on his face? So Rashi gives two pshatim. Pshat number one, alponav, is lifonav. On his face means ahead of him. Not the classical use of alponav, but that's Rashi's first pshat. Second pshat in Rashi, and this is our stopping point. Umedrash agada alponav, af hu sharoi v'kas. Not only was Esav angry, but Yaakov was angry. Alponav is like in your face, on your face. The matana went in Yaakov's face. It irritated him that he had to give this matana. Shayitzarech l'kol zeh. He was angry, he was irritated, he was annoyed that he needed all of this. And I gotta give him all these horses and camels and chamirim and all this stuff and all the malachim. Well, what do you gotta get into this for? Just grow up, Esav. You sold the Bechira. It's all over. I have mine. You have yours. What do I have to get into this for? What are you coming at me for with 400 men? Take a look at the Medrash. The Medrash doesn't actually say what Rashi says that it should. The Medrash says, goes back a step. Why didn't he bring the entire Matana as one? Kedei lasbia Esav einov shel Rasha. Because he wanted to satisfy the eyes of Esav. Get him in a really good mood. Asi l'michsal, they're about to stop. Hu amar kabil. And they say to him, nah, take more. Asi l'michsal, they're about to stop. Hu amar kabil, take more. So every time he thinks it's done, there's more and more and more. Esav is all happy. Vatavar amincha alponav. And the mincha goes on Yaakov's face, crawling across his face, annoying his face. Af hu ba'aka. He was also in aka. What is aka? So you take a look at the Eitz Yosef. Eitz Yosef says it means that he was bitzar. He was uncomfortable about the whole thing. It doesn't really say anger. This is bitzar. Rashi on the Medrash also says bitzar. He doesn't say kas. It's the Pirush of the Marzu over there on the Medrash who says that Yaakov was bekas. And the Maral explains that the way that Rashi and the way the Marzu got to kas is because al ponov is like al apoy. Af is a lushin of anger, of kas. Somehow Yaakov was angry. He was bitsar, he was angry. But what does it all mean? Yaakov Avinu is a fulfilled person. He's the Ish Emes. He's able to make it through Lavan. Nothing stares him. All of a sudden, he has to give this big present to Esav. He has to do his Ishtadlus. And all of a sudden, he's bekas. He's angry about giving away all of these chamirim, all of these animals, all of the gemalim. What's Yaakov getting angry about? What does it mean? And how does it jive with this idea that we have that the Ish Emes, the man of Tiferes, so should certainly be a person with simcha sachayim, with simcha satira, has all fit together. So last week I told you guys about one missed career that I had. I'll tell you today about another one. I always used to dream when I was in high school about writing television commercials. I always loved television, especially during the Super Bowl. Those are the best television commercials. The chachma of writing a television commercial is that you have to think into it. I mean, my ninth grade Rebbe in high school always used to slam us about it. And it was funny, 2 years ago at the Yarche Kala in Five Towns, the Rosh Yeshiva said exactly the same thing. He goes, now the people who write the television commercials, they bank on the fact that, it was about Gnevas Das, they bank on the fact that people are so stupid that when they see a car in a commercial, they think that they're getting the model along with the car when they buy it. That basically is the psychology of commercials. But I remember one commercial from when I was in high school that he had a bunch of guys, and you know, it was a beer commercial. I don't remember whether it was Budweiser or Miller, you know, one of those. Now there are probably other big ones. but you had a bunch of guys, you know, 5-on-5, and they were playing basketball, and it was like really heated, you know, and they're there and they're sweating and jumping, and one guy hits a jump shot and the other guy swats a block shot and the other guy slam dunks it in his face, a la play, right? And the third guy or whatever it is, and you know, defense, offense, and they're sweating, and at the end of the game everybody sits down, they all have a beer. That's the end of the commercial. After they all sweat. The spoof of the commercial was it was a hockey game. And, you know, they're all playing hockey or whatever it is. And one guy body checks him into the wall. And the other guy takes his hockey stick and slams him over the head. And the third guy takes the puck and smacks it in his mouth. And then in a second, everyone is just bashing and killing each other, you know. And at the end of the day, they're all sitting there drinking beer. They all open up their mouths and no one has any teeth. The moral of the story is, let's say that there was no game. There was no ball game, there was no hockey game, there was no exertion, there was no sweat. Everybody's just like on the basketball court over there, you know, like loafing around and, you know, whatever. Okay, and at the end of the day, okay guys, let's chill and have a beer, you know? Okay, fine. That wouldn't have been as exciting. It was goof of the fact that everyone was just charging and running and sweating and now the beer is worth something. It wasn't the beer, it was a basketball game. More than that, it was the schwitz. L'fum tzara agra is not just the din that when you work very hard you get a lot of olam haba. L'fum tzara agra is a din in olam hazeh. That in order to have real simcha, in order to have real pleasure in this world, you only get real pleasure out of something that you exerted yourself for. And that's true in the physical world, that's true in the spiritual world. Any real pleasure, any real simcha comes from the fact that you have a goal. You want to reach your goal, you work hard to reach your goal, and you get sipuk of the fact that you got there or you're on the way there. It's during the process and certainly after the process is over. And l'maisel, ani as daiti, over here, when it says that Yaakov was bekas, it doesn't mean chas v'shalom kas, is destructive anger. There's a type of kas which is destructive anger. That's what we're going to talk about in the Gemara and the Nedarim later on. Rasha begoiva apay, ein alekim b'chol mezi maisav. A Rasha, when he's really angry, see, he can't think about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam because all he's thinking about is his own ego. He wants to destroy everybody who's against him. It's a destructive force. But then there's something else called Af. Talked about it in Achziv. Tera anil shalmadati ba'af. There's something called Sar. There's something called exertion. I would say angst, but even angst is too strong. It almost sounds negative. When a person is in a situation that he feels challenged, and he's up against something, of course it causes a tsar, of course it causes a pain. And of course there's a certain part of you that say, I wish that was easier. But that's when to hit the gas, and that's when you got to start to really work. And that was the matzav of Yaakov Avinu. Being confronted by Esav, realizing that he has to do all of this, Yaakov Avinu giving away all of this stuff and planning his tactics and planning his war and davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not doing it in a chilled out eifin. He's doing it b'tzar. He's doing it b'kas. He's doing it ba'af. He's doing it with an energy that I've got to fight back. Is it exactly comfortable now? No, I'm not comfortable. It's a challenge. But what was Yaakov looking for? What was the other side? But why all of a sudden, when he has to do all of this stuff, does it make him focus on the fact, hey, I'm exerting myself now, right? There is that tsar. So let me give you the other side of the story, that this is what it's supposed to look like in the world. When a person is doing everything perfectly but teferis, and the world is perfect. And perhaps this is why Yaakov is feeling, is, hey, you know, I really have to exert myself now. I didn't think that this was going to happen. The Nefesh HaChayim and Shar Dalet, everybody really should learn Shar Dalet. You should learn the whole Nefesh HaChayim. But Shar Dalet, a chizuk for limud HaTorah. You want to know what happens? You learn Torah Lishma? Awesome. A person who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, lishma, meaning that I'm learning lamana Torah, because of the fact that I want to learn Torah. No bigger reason than that. He's above everything in this world. He gets a special hashgacha from Hashem that goes above and beyond nature. Kivan shudavuk b'Torah v'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, since he's davuk in the Torah and Hakadosh Baruch Hu, mamish kiviyachol, u'miskadesh b'kedusha al'yoina shel Torah Hakadosha shehu l'mayla le'ein erech mikol elamis. It's so great, it's beyond everything. Via noisenes, via senes achius v'akiyum lo'el mikol hakoyche estivim, and it gives the chius and the kiyum to everything in the world. A person who sits and learns Torah, and he goes on and on, is zeichet to the fact that he lives in a different realm. He's not pagua by inyone olam hazeh. He doesn't have to pay taxes in his town. Why? Because he doesn't need all the things that protect the other people. He's living in his own orbit. They always say, you know, Reb Chaim Knievsky does not have to worry about how he makes a parnasa. He doesn't have a formal shteller. You know, what's Reb Chaim Knievsky's yearly salary, right? And if he wanted to, he could ride around in a Rolls Royce if that was necessary for him. I'm sure someone would take care of it. When you get to a certain level of Dveikus B'Torah, you don't have to do anything. It's taken care of by itself. And if you think about it, it's not L'mayla Mehateva, it's just a higher level of Teva. People appreciate that there is such a thing as a higher realm. Yaakov Avinu was there too. But Yaakov Avinu realized that for whatever reason, Esav was coming to get him. And it wasn't going to be a cakewalk over here. He wasn't just going to be able to say, listen, you know, I'm Reb Chaim Knievsky, and I'm the Ish Emes, and I'm not going to have any obstacles over here. No, there's going to be a fight. And when you go into a fight, so you go in with all of your bren, with all your kas, with all your tsar, and you go and you fight, and you do what's right. Now, all my years sitting by the Rosh Yeshiva, I always think it's very interesting. I don't ever remember him talking about Torah being geschmack. I don't ever remember him saying anything about lumdus either, except in a negative context. He used to say to people if they had a svara, that's a super lumdus. You know, whatever. He got that Rabbi Shurkin. Rabbi Shurkin talks about lumdus, and he doesn't talk about geschmack, but he is geschmack, right? So that's just... I never remember talking about geschmack. I never remember him talking about lumdus. I remember him saying one thing over and over again. Torah is long, and Torah is hard. Shas is long, Shas is hard. Right? Now, was he saying that it's not geschmack? Was he saying that there is no lumdus? Of course not. But basically, the message is that first you have to realize it's not a cakewalk. It's a long, hard job ahead of us. L'fum tzara agra. If it was easy, if it was a cakewalk, if it was a bunch of guys running around on a basketball court without a basketball and then going and having a beer afterwards, then nobody is making a commercial out of that. That's not a happy scene. The happy scene is when you knock and you fight and you this and you that and the shir didn't make sense and he's crazy and my chavrus is nuts and my shir always makes sense. But, you know, whatever, it just... You fight and you do, and then you're happy at the end. That's real happiness. That's real Simcha Satara. That's real Simcha Sachayim. Because life is a challenge, and life is supposed to be a challenge. And Be'ezra Hashem, so all of you will have the zechus to keep on learning more sugyas, ba'amelus atzuma, and always seeing the peiros of your labors. And Be'ezra Hashem, go Michael Ochayel. Every sugya should be another challenge that you rise to and finish every week and every day, every Seder, every sugya with more and more simcha than you had before. And have a good Shabbos.